Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm here
Hello,
with my
everyone.
friend James. Stell isn't with us today. He's busy doing other things. So
it's just a two-person tango today.
That's right. So today we thought, because James and I both have recent personal experiences with what I'm going to like call a category of burnout. You know, when do you know that you're pushing too hard, you've gone too far, etc. And I think it's interesting, and I'll just share my story a little bit and then I'll ask James to do his too. But I just think it's interesting for me because I'm so focused on my health and wellness. People in my life would laugh if they heard this because, like, my husband, we were out to dinner with friends last week. We were talking about health data. And like, I have a Whoop band and I wear an Apple Watch and I wake up every morning and I look at how my sleep was. And I'm even inputting workouts when I lift weights because I want to get full credit for the actual workout, not just that I did weights, but what it was, what the strain level was and stuff. And he's just like, you know, we talk a lot about your data. And it's true. Like, it's on my mind all the time. And then I went through a recent patch of January to May where I just filled my schedule to the brim. No margins for space to do nothing, really. I was traveling. I think if I counted, I traveled three times a month, Jan, Feb. And sometimes it was like to one location, then to another location, then home, that kind of thing.
A lot. And what, like
Yeah,
2 hour, 3 hour flights or something as well?
Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes it was long drives, which actually are kind of chill. But in my head, I'm like, oh, a long drive. I could drive for 8 hours and listen to podcasts and learn. And me and ChatGPT, we have conversations and I build things when I'm driving and stuff. So in my head, I'm like, oh, this is relaxed time. In my head, I'm like, oh, being in an airport, I could just work. And I'm just like, you know, I don't know. Some of it was fun travel. Like, I had a couple vacation-y type events in there, some stuff for family, whatever. We did a whole renovation of the first floor of our house. And so in the midst of all of this, it was like, have laptop, we'll move wherever, like work in the garage if I need to, kind of thing. So in the middle of May, right before the last trip, I was in Montreal with my family for my sister's birthday and stuff. And like, I just knew, like, Tuesday night, not feeling great, have to go to bed. Wednesday, full day, my sister's birthday, all kinds of things, people around. By the end of that day, I almost, like, I called my daughter, or she FaceTimed me, and I couldn't even, like, talk to her. I was, like, completely out of gas. I couldn't form words. Big headache, go to bed, wake up the next day a little foggy, and then I kind of hit a week of just foggy tired. And we traveled to the Bahamas and I took naps and I, like, whatever. And I just knew, I just was like, I have pushed it too hard. And my body's now shutting down, essentially. And then I just think it's so interesting because I'm like, I do yoga and I know how to, you know, breathing exercises and whatever. And here I am not listening to the signals until I hit a point where I can't take it anymore.
So how long do you think you've been out for then, from like your kind of peak performance?
Yes. So that was May 7th. Definitely a good couple of weeks, but I would even say now, like, I, you know, I'm 50 now, so I'm also going through like the pending hormonal changes where all of these hormones in your body start to drop. So I don't know what of this little trifecta is affecting me, but, you know, low mood, low motivation, irritability, like just that kind of not yourself. Like, I'm a positive person. I love having high energy and being excited about the future and stuff like that. So I would say I'm coming out of it now, but it's been a good few weeks of, and then not feeling yourself. And then as a person who wants to do more, achieve more, whatever, you're beating yourself up all the time for not being ready and stuff. So you're not even really relaxing because you're like, mad at yourself, you know?
But it's so interesting, and I'll obviously share mine, because the reason we're talking about this is because I've just gone through, like, literally 2 weeks ago today, after had the podcast, and I was saying to people, if they go back and listen to it, I was saying that I just took a red eye fly, didn't sleep, and then worked all day. The following day, I end up getting shingles, and I've been out of action for 10 days or so. But do you think we can be at optimum health? Like, let's say that we take the rests and we take the 3 days and we make sure that we recharge and we do all this. Do you think that we can be at optimum all of the time? Because that's almost like, as an entrepreneur, we know we're going to, or not even an entrepreneur, we get good days and bad days. And the bad days is essential, and it's when the learning happens. Do you think that it's inevitable that we're going to have these days, even though we hit all of the markers and we take the rest? Because what we're going to talk about now is obviously burning it a bit too much, and what people are listening. But do you think that even if we do take the necessary rests, can we avoid, having these down days and sick days and the weeks off work and not feeling at 100%?
That's such a good question. So, one of my friends is super into health data. She was a former ER doctor, and then now she does a benchmark health assessment and a 4-week program where you can measure all your stuff, your VO2 max, your body composition, your blood sugar. She does a full blood panel and all of that. And so she's also into data. And so I was asking her once, and I the reason this will get somewhere in a second, in a Whoop, you get a reading of your day, you get your recovery score, you have a strain score, and you have something else. And I was saying, I get frustrated when my recovery score is low, because I'm like, I don't want to be in the yellow or the red. I want to be in the green all the time. Like, because it's like you're winning if you're in the green, right? And she was like, well, you can't be, because if you're in the green all the time, that means you're not challenging yourself and you're not doing anything to stress your body and grow. So you actually do want times of pushing too hard, then you let your body recover. So physically, just from a physical strain standpoint, you let your body recover. When you come back, you're even stronger. So I think that's kind of what you're saying, that let's just take it out of the physical body and into life. You take on a new challenge that's difficult, it taxes you, and you have that emotional stress because it's new, it's different, it's unfamiliar. Maybe, we made some mistakes or whatever. Then if you can come back and you do need a point of recovery, because the job is to push yourself beyond what you're comfortable with, and that's going to require recovery. So I think that's the answer. Although emotionally, I want to be like, I'm optimistic. I should be able to run at my best all the time if I have the right cocktail of food, sleep, workout,
Everything, I mean, it's always, I think it's always, if we can do two steps forward and one back and two, I mean, to think that we can do two forward and then two forward and two forward and two forward, that isn't realistic.
No.
We've had podcasts where we've talked about the struggles that we've had, and I had some struggles last year, and you've gone through struggles, and same with Stell. And we talked about the struggle is obviously where the key, nutrition is, and the essentials to help you to move to the next level. And we started out this podcast talking about how can we, optimize our health to not have the down days. And maybe it's because we're pushing ourselves too much. But maybe, and I don't know, this is just an open question, maybe it's better to do that and have the crappy 1 week every whatever. For some people, it might be every month. Some people might be every 6 months. And have it where you're in bed and you're feeling crap and you go, I'm not doing this. But maybe it's essential and you'll perform better doing that than if you run on maybe 70% for 6 months. I don't know. It would be interesting. It'd be interesting to explore that, because I think it'd be on an individual basis.
Totally. It's interesting, 'cause in our heads, like, and I, we live our life through our mindset. When I was doing all of that, if I just looked at the last 6 month pattern, there were moments where I'm like, holy shit, I'm doing a lot, but then I'm fine. So I, if I'm feeling fine about it in my head and I'm making it through, then how bad is it? I think the alarming thing, and I don't know if it's because I'm doing all of these tests and stuff, but my cortisol level, and I don't understand the full science of it. I have a meeting with my doctor about it in a couple weeks, but my cortisol levels or my adrenal function is showing that it's off, that my system, and it, maybe this isn't surprising. I did the test when I was in this low period, right? It's saying like your nervous system, you're not recovering fully. So you're doing things, you're doing all the right things, but why isn't the recovery happening? And so that concerns me a little bit because I don't want to continue to ride on the rails. And then how bad is the fall after, like at a period of time? And I mean, totally making it up. I have no idea if there's a, you know, boogeyman at the other end of it or if it's just like this. But that would be my concern, would be.
No. But I guess protecting the immune system is because when the immune system is low, I mean, it's like shingles. You get shingles when the immune system is really low, and then the virus comes in. And I think it's the same, whether it's cancer or with any of the, a majority of it is when your body is just exhausted.
Right. Yeah. And so that's the part where, and it bothers me intellectually, because I'm like, I am not the person who screws stuff like this up. I am the person who's like dialed in on all the things, right? So then now I feel like it's a problem to solve. And I'm troubled by the fact that I don't know that it's coming, that the burnout is coming. I'm troubled by the, why can't I see it? Why can't I like listen to the signs in my body? And like for you, I mean, shingles, I mean, it was awful for you, like to get to that point.
I mean, it's like a horror show. The pictures I sent you with the blisters and things, like 2-3 days after the podcast,
it was awful.
Pretty bad. And I was fine. I mean, apart from that flight, I was, at least I thought I mean, it's the same to your point. Just I thought I was fine, but maybe clearly not. I mean, there's something happening in the body that that was saying you're not fine. And I'm going to put you in bed for 10 days.
Right. Like now, we're taking over now. So me and ChatGPT have been having a conversation about this. I should share my, I wish you could share your whole conversation. Not anybody wants to read it, but of all the tests that came back and everything, I load my Whoop data and I'm like, you know, this makes me sad because this isn't who I am. And this is like, I do all these things like it, you know, because the suggestions for people under stress or if they're, you know, their nervous system is shot or whatever is like, check out your sleep hygiene, make sure you eat well, you know, like, and I'm like, huh, all those things I do. And then I was like, ChatGPT, like, I have 2 years of Whoop data that show I have good sleep hygiene and stuff. Like I'm arguing with this tool.
But what is it? So what is it?
So okay, so then this is the advice that comes back to me, which is, you know, on some level frustrating and then also maybe obvious. So the thing was, I'm just going to pull it up. Well, I'll, essentially, you don't have to stop doing the things you're doing, but you have to reframe how you see your energy. So it is like approaching things maybe not with such hard drive, with more of a softness. And then the questions are like, you know that you're running too hard when... You go for a walk. Do you just walk or do you strategize? When you know, sit down to watch a movie or do nothing, are you really good with doing nothing or are you feeling like it's an indulgence? And so like my answers for that are, my God, I can't, like, I am always strategizing. I am always like planning, strategizing, thinking, whatever, right? So like, I don't do a good job of mentally, right? Like I listen to podcast, like I'm like, oh, I have 5 minutes in the car. Maybe I'll listen to a podcast. I don't do the...
But you meditate, right?
No. This is the
really?
Funny thing. In my life, when, you know, I say I do all these things. In my life, I had a meditation practice. It was about 10 years ago. Call it 6 months, maybe a year.
Okay.
And at the time, I would say it was, no question about it, the most important thing for my health. Like beyond sleep, beyond eating, beyond exercise, and I love all those things. I was like, it is hands down the best thing for my health. And then I stopped doing it. And then I'm like, well, I do yoga, which is like a moving meditation. And then a couple years ago, I started doing like a tea ceremony so that it's like you're doing something while you're meditating. Like you're just sipping tea and it's a really beautiful practice, tea ceremony. And that was lovely. But then I get itchy. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. I don't have 20 minutes to sit down and make tea and drink tea and do nothing, you know? Like, so I think the answer is clearly there. I just am resisting it. You know,
why
do you
do we
meditate?
why do we do this to ourselves? I mean, there's so many things where I will, an example like this, I'll say to somebody, oh, I do this with, I used to do this with work. It was so successful. And they say, oh, when did you last do it? Oh, 4 years ago. I mean, I don't know why we do this. I mean, we torture ourselves where we learn things that are really great, great for us, and then we stop doing it.
Totally. It doesn't make any sense at all. And I like, it doesn't make any sense. It's been a decade since I said, made that grand statement and believed it. So you're, do you have meditation practice?
On and off, yeah. It's not as great as I would like it to be, but yeah.
And what do you do? Is it mindfulness meditation?
Yeah.
Just watching the breath?
Yeah, just close the eyes and just trying to quieten the mind to nothing, just for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But yeah, I mean, I think so when are you going to start doing it then? Now you've just said that it was one of the best things you ever did.
You can be my accountability coach. You
because
know, I was going to say.
Everybody should know that Mary is an action woman. So, you know, she's all about taking action, seeing results. So you can't make that comment and then
I
do nothing
know.
about it.
You're absolutely right. You know, what's funny is I'm like hesitating to commit, which is so weird. I will meditate today. It's the weirdest thing. It's the easiest thing to do in the world and the hardest thing to do. It's like just sit and do nothing for a matter of minutes. It's weird.
Strategize the company and come up with the next 3 years of how you're going to generate revenue for 10 minutes, or sit there, switch off your phone, close your eyes and breathe and think about nothing. And you'll be like, yeah, I'll do the first one.
I'll do the first one all day long. Yeah. And plus, give me three other things to do at the same time as that one, and I'll be even better than the doing of nothing. I think I need, so I've often used the term scaffolding. So I am a like ideas person, and I can pivot. I love the change and adaptability and flexibility, like move, like, you know, bright, shiny penny over there, squirrel over there kind of thing. So what helps me is, number one, I have to believe it's the right thing. Cause the minute I, like when I started exercising every day, I was like, I believe so strongly in that, that life isn't good without it. So I have to have like a good why behind the thing. So there's that. And then second, I need some scaffolding. Like I can't just willy nilly be like, oh, I'll just stop at 1 PM for 5 minutes. I think I need to, like, back to like the James Clear Atomic Habits, where he talks about habit stacking. Where you, if you, you create a new habit by connecting it to an existing habit. And I just have to figure out which
but
habits.
Do it before the exercise and say, I'm not going to train until I meditate. Don't do it after, because as soon as you come out, you'll check your phone, then you're off. But say, I have to train, but I'm not going to train until I've meditated, because I'm going to need to get in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
To relax to then perform during training.
So this is a wake up in the morning first thing thing. Because that's when I, like, you know, I've been going to this boot camp now, which I love, first thing in the morning. So it would have to be before that. And then that would mean I need to wake up with enough time to do that. And then that means I need to sleep.
2-3 minutes. Even if it's 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. That's
It
true.
Doesn't need to be like 20 minutes or something. I mean, just relax in the mind.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. I'm going to start tomorrow morning, but I
so
am going
to
meditate
we're all
today.
going to hold you accountable, because I'm going to ask you on the next podcast then, and then you need to how many days
Yes.
you've done it.
Okay. I like that. The one thing I have been doing, which actually came through ChatGPT recommendation as well. I mean, they say breathing exercises, and I'm like, I teach yoga. Of course I know about breathing exercises. You made this point earlier, which is, we don't necessarily need to learn new things to do. We just need to be reminded of the things we know to do. Right.
Yeah.
And so that 4-7-8 breathing, do you ever do that?
The
Breathe in for four, hold for seven,
and I'm
exhale
out.
For eight. It changes, like it brings your, like it downgrades your nervous system or whatever. You do that like 3 times, and you can take a body that's all hyped up into like a calmer state. Since my burnout and since these test results, I've been like in the car driving and doing the 4-7-8 breathing, just because. And it's true, like if you do that 3 times in a row, you will feel in your body calmer.
But there you're already doing like three things in the car. Like you just want to cram everything in to optimize performance, whereas the whole point of this is to do nothing so you can recharge.
Right. I'm listening to a podcast doing 478 breathing and looking at Google Maps to make sure I get to the
Yeah, whilst
right.
driving a car, having a coffee, talking to the passenger. Yeah. No, but it's I don't think as our world is becoming more and more chaotic, is probably not, but we're all multitasking, we're all drained. Like whoever we speak to on our, whether or not it's friends, it's work colleagues, it's family members, loved ones, everybody is exhausted. And I think we're just inundated with extra tasks, extra technology. You know, this is the new life that we live. And I think we'll have to, myself, you know, definitely included, need to make a special effort to take some time out. And I
So what
think,
will you do? Like has having shingles taught you anything or reminded you of anything as you're laying in bed?
it's definitely emphasized how fragile we really are, and how, you know, because leading up to that point, I was going to the gym all the time. Same thing, I wasn't drinking, I was trying to be healthy, doing all the right things. And then, you know, curveball, and all of a sudden you're knocked out for 10. And it can have such a dramatic impact, because even now, 2 weeks, I'm still not 100%. You know, I've had, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks off work. And for me, I've not just gone back one step. I felt like I was, you know, two steps forward and probably gone back three or four. So I think the fragility, especially you get older, you realize how important your health is. They always say the man with his health has 1,000 wishes, the man without his health has one. And I definitely felt that that week, that all, the only thing that I cared about was just waking up the next day and feeling better. And so, yeah, the same thing, because it's for me, you know, thinking that I'm going to, I don't know what's the best thing to do, and I'm asking you here, because what either I take, you know, let's say half a day or one day a week, and we do a proper free day. And for me, a proper day, I love to switch off the phone, no work, phone. I switch off the phone and put it in a drawer. But it's not just that, it's also making sure you can properly switch off. Because if you're just going to sit at home and doodle and strategize, you're not on. So it's doing something where you really relax, or taking kind of, you know, an hour off, you know, making sure that you just have an hour for yourself per day, or 45 minutes where you know, some people that go to the sauna, or some people go for a walk, you know, on their own, and just to clear the mind. It's just almost clearing the mind. And I kind of think that it's better to do that on a more frequent basis, and shorter periods, rather than, you know, waiting your week, letting it build up, and then saying I'm going to try and take a whole day off. Or
I see that too. I had a couple of thoughts as you were saying that. Do you think that watching a movie is good enough downtime? Like get the distraction of binging Netflix?
yeah. For me, yeah, because I get into it. If it's an hour and a half, you can relax, and yeah.
Because I do that. Like I have a shutdown mode at night where, not every night, but we're all wind down and I have this little nerdy habit of crocheting and watching TV. I mean, what's so funny though, because you're probably going to say you can't just do one thing. You have to be crocheting and watching TV, which is interesting.
I'm
But
doing a good work.
with the brain, because like when you go for a walk and I listen to podcasts or audiobooks or if I watch TV, in a way it's a distraction, so it's like another thing to focus on. And I'm just wondering if the thing I need is the practicing the
Nothing.
nothing as opposed to the compelling distraction. I mean, movies and TV shows are built for distract you, and I love that. They transport you into a story so you're not in your own, which is so good. Just thinking I need the walk without the headphones, or I
Yeah,
don't
I
know.
mean, I think watching a movie is obviously better than working, but I don't think it's the same as, for example, an hour you know, in the sauna, or an hour massage, or an hour just
Yeah.
sat on your own looking at, you know, out
Yeah.
of the water or by a lake with nobody else around you, and just, you know, I think
Yeah.
they're the times where, I think I've said this to you before as well, when I'm around water and I'm on my own, the best ideas come to me.
Right. That's beautiful. Yeah.
If I
And
try to sit down in a room and I've got a
yeah.
pen and paper and stuff like that, I'm trying to think, it won't be anywhere near
Yeah.
as clear.
That happens to me when I'm moving, like just running or walking or something. But water, or even in the woods, I love spending time in the woods, you know, just in the trees and listening to the leaves and stuff. So I don't have a lot of, like, we used to camp quite a bit when our kids were little, and we don't have as much of that. And when we do go, it's with lots of people. So I think that could help too. What else was I thinking? Oh, Brandon Bouchard's book, High
What's it called?
Performance Habits. I think it's called High Performance
Yeah.
Habits. Yeah. That's a good book because it's not like, here's how to stack your day. It's a kind of habits of mindset in a way. And so there's this whole section on energy. And, you know, I think a lot about energy because, like, I like to be high energy and stuff. And he will say, manage your transitions. And ChatGPT gave me this advice too. Don't stack things back to back to back. Give yourself 15 minutes between things just to be. And so that you can, like, fully release the energy of the last thing before you know,
Enter into.
spend. Yeah. And I'm not good at that because it's like, how do you squeeze out of every minute? How do you, I mean, I do three things at once, let alone separate them, let alone separate them with space in between, you know? That's another thing I think I can try to do, give myself a little bit of
But
wiggle room.
you've got a team around you, right? So
Yeah.
why don't you let other people manage your diary and time for you rather than you? Like, remove your access to your diary.
Yeah. That
Because
takes some, yeah.
if you've got access, I
Yeah.
know we talked about it as well for emails and things like that, but
I know you told me that I have not yet done that, given my email to somebody else without who changes the password. Like, oh, it's like blasphemy.
I think, I mean, the only way of doing this is to give it to somebody else, because you will always put work on other people because it's your nature and it's why you're so great at what you do, but you'll always put other people ahead of you to a certain point. And because I think you've developed, you understand how important your health is, but you
Yeah.
will prioritize and you'll try and cram because you want to achieve and succeed in life, and you will do that. Whereas I think if you told, you know, your assistant or the people that's
Yeah.
managing diary and your activities,
Yeah.
and say, this week I'm not at 100%. I need a bit of protection of my kind of
Yeah.
well-being. Make sure you give
Yeah.
me time, make sure this, and let them run it for you. What do you think the likely outcome will be at the end of the week?
So, in order to do that, I would need to be pretty clear about what types of things can go in which places, too, right? But yeah, absolutely. I do have somebody's schedules, but I also override the schedule and all the stuff. So it's a bit of a hybrid model right now. So I do have somebody who could help. And if I was really better about the time blocks between, it's tough. Like, you know, the days are short. They're shorter than before, it feels like, to try to fit in all the things. Part of it isn't like giving it up to others. Part of it's my own interest. Like, I want to be here and I want there. And somebody wants to meet. Oh yeah, I want to meet with that person. I want to, I want to go to the thing. I want to teach yoga and run a business and have children who want to hang out with me and all the stuff, right? So there's like a, I don't want to miss out on things too. So,
Yeah,
no doubt
of
it would help.
that just comes down then to priorities, doesn't it? I mean, it's great to be wanted
Yeah.
and needed and to be busy, but
Yeah.
also it doesn't mean to say you have to do everything to be optimal.
Totally true. My God, I'm looking at my schedule for the fall and I have a lot of travel coming up. I was like, I won't do that to myself again. These things were already booked, but
Why don't you try it? Why don't you try a week?
yeah.
Give it somebody else to manage for 1 week, and to shuffle things around, and then see how the first couple. It's always difficult, especially when we're, you know, entrepreneurs, and we try and control our week and we try and control the outcomes and things like this. But it's amazing how other people can actually do it better than us.
So do you do that?
Yeah.
And do you have space between meetings and like, I mean, you run
Yeah,
pretty
but
hot
it is
too,
a
right?
hybrid where it I will put things in, but also Mary, my Mary, she will set things up, and if it gets a bit too much, she will also tell me, and I'll tell her.
Yeah. Like I have a team who will put stuff like I'll have a meeting across town and then I'll have another meeting right after without travel time. So like we have some work to do to man like just to manage the basics of that, I think, first. But yeah.
You can
Breathing.
get you can I mean it's just it things like just through communication after one or two you get it solved and you work it out and then
Yeah.
it's
Yeah,
not
I
a
think so. Yeah. That's good
barrier.
advice.
I mean if your health, which is what we're talking about, if your health and well-being, we know how important it is, you know, it's simple steps that you can take to protect, and it's not even just your health, is you're talking about your energy, right?
Yes.
You people, if you want to keep the energy, not just about your health and not becoming sick, to keep
I want the next 50 years to be my highest energy years, you know? And I definitely have like an absolute aversion to the because I'm aging, this is happening. Like I can't, I have like a block. I don't want to face that part of it. And we're all getting older. And that's a good thing. Like lucky us, we get to get older. But I don't, yeah, I don't want to, I don't, I want to have as much energy 10 years from now as I have today, as I had 10 years ago. And so, yeah, this is important. And it's an important focal point because I know the life I want to live, the way that I want to feel, bringing my best, doing important work, affecting people around me in a positive way, enjoying life and being happy, just simple things like, this part is an enabler of that. So that becomes the most important work I could do. So that gets back to number one, if I'm going to create a new habit, I need to value it. So that's the value right there.
Do,
So yeah.
do you think you do more meetings or less meetings now, Zoom or in person, because obviously life is different now, but compared to 10 years ago?
That's what's so crazy. So I think it's more, and what's weird is I also think it's more, we're getting more done in a short period of time. For some reason, the pace feels faster than 10 years ago. And maybe that's not for some reason. Maybe it's obvious because technology and connectivity are so hyper. Like what we can turn out today, you know, with collaboration tools, with AI, with whatever, like it's immediate. But then I also have the expectation of immediate. It's like, oh, I need a new pen. Well, can Amazon get it to me by 5 o'clock? You know, that's an exaggeration. But we live in this world where everything should be able to happen on demand. My desires, my responsibilities equally.
But if you think about it, let's say that you were starting out as a tradesman, for example, 10 years ago or 20 years ago with your career. Along the way, you make mistakes. And then as you get more experienced, you make less mistakes, so you can get the job done in a quicker amount of time. So if, I mean, us as business owners, we're always trying to make each year better and bigger. But do you think that, you know, you're talking about holding on to the same amount of energy in 10 years' time that you have now and the year before? What if you was able to get the same results? But if you, let's say you're doing 6 meetings a day 10 years ago, maybe now you should be doing 3 or 4 meetings a day to get the same results. But then if in 10 years' time you want the same energy, to think that you can have the same energy still with the same amount of activity is probably unrealistic for all of us because we get older. So if we want to hold on to that energy, maybe we need to do slightly less meetings, but still getting the same results because we're
more
smart.
effective.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I love that. I would say that that's true already. But yeah, maybe we're filling or I'm filling. I don't know who else is doing this out in the world, but given that you can do things faster, you're ending up. And again, it's like, we do way more Zoom meetings. So there's no more, even if we were all working in the same office, there would be the moments in between where you got up, went to the washroom, grabbed a coffee, chatted with somebody, and then, but now it's just like hang up, go back to the next one. Like it's in a second. So our energy doesn't get a time to shift. And in fact, then it's like I could have an input from my phone. I can have iMessage on my computer. I can have, we're having this conversation on Zoom. Emails can come in. Like it's next level wild. What could, if you don't manage it,
Yeah,
it's
and
just
for sure,
like you're a ball in a pinball machine
and
that's going fast.
there'll be some app, if it's not already out there now, that will be able to tap into the data of the phones and things, look at your calendar, and it will automatically cancel something in your diary, or it'll come up saying alert, unless you take 1 minute or 1 hour to meditate or go and have a walk, you're going to be sick in 3 days' time, and you're going to have a week off. So
Gosh, I would
cancel.
love that app.
Yeah, but would you listen to it though? I don't think Mary would.
Know. So, knowledge is power. Some people think that like all this tracking is terrible for our mindset, but I'll tell you, like things that I've done now that I have a Whoop that tracks how I sleep and my strain, all that stuff. Like I can directly see the impact of alcohol on sleep. So I drink way less than I ever did. And I'm like, oh, that's not worth it. I don't want to not sleep. Whereas before when I didn't know, like ignorance is bliss in a way. So once you know, like even having these hormone tests and finding out about the cortisol, now I know that in my, it's not just how I feel. It's not just Mary, you're being a loser today because you don't feel like you're not motivated to do anything. Because that's the one story. The other story, now that I have data behind it, is like, huh, your body's saying slow down. And maybe not slow down. I mean, absolutely, there's an opportunity for me to create space between meetings, commit to less things. Totally. I also think that there's good practice in between my ears. There's good, give myself a quota of podcasts, like podcast hours I can listen to. And maybe there's one walk a day that has no devices and stuff, right? I think that's the bigger work for me,
And
just
things that just help
intuitively.
with habits and structure, and that's I've
Yeah.
always said I think one of the best pills that the pharmaceutical world could develop would be a pill that gives you more discipline and habits.
Yeah.
Because
Totally.
it's that's a sure way of gaining results.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you already know that meditating helps, but you stop doing it. So
Know.
you don't need any more data behind it. It's just
So true.
the
I
amount
will
of.
tell you, what I'll do though? I'll start tracking meditation in my Whoop. And then when I start to see a correlation between meditation and better sleep or better recovery, that will help motivate me.
Okay.
It will. But you're right. I don't need it to know. I didn't have anything like that a decade ago. I'm just saying that when there, it's in black and white, and I can watch it every day, and I'm like, oh, geez, that glass of wine meant I didn't sleep well. Like the biggest thing with alcohol is the heart rate. Have you noticed that? Because you wear a, do you have a Whoop? What, you have
No,
something?
I did. I tracked it off a bit, and then I stopped.
Oh.
But you're right. The alcohol and food, and for me, sugar late at night. Like if I had ice cream or dessert, it just
Yeah.
killed sleep.
Yeah. And now you know that. So now, anyway, so knowledge is power, but it's not the only thing.
Yeah,
So,
yeah. No, it's.
how do you avoid getting shingles again? Can you avoid it? Because it's a virus, right? It'll come back if you're stressed
It's
out
the
again.
immune system. So just keeping the immune system strong. I mean,
Okay.
I take some vitamins and things. One thing, because I'm going back to the UK again in a couple of weeks. I want to do the gene mapping test. So it tells you
Oh.
exactly what food and vitamins, rather than just guessing.
Oh.
Do the specific one where you can test to see what foods we should be taking for our body and shouldn't, and what vitamins we should and shouldn't.
So tell me then what test is that? Is there a brand? Like, is it 'cause like is it Viome where they test your gut, or it's genetic
No,
testing?
It's like a genetic testing, yeah, but also specifically that it gives you the results on, you know, all the foods and vitamins that you should, that you need for your body.
My husband got me something like that a few years ago at Christmas, and we got results, but it was before I was into all of this. So now I'm going to go back to those results and see. Like, it said that I'm sensitive to coffee and things like that, but I still drink coffee.
I mean, it's within reason, right? I mean, I'm for sure you should say, you know, don't drink and don't smoke and don't do any, but it'd be interesting just to see if there's anything which is kind of a no-no. But just in terms of rest, just more rest, protecting the, you know, the immune system.
Sleep.
And sleep.
For your immune system, right? Like it's, and you took a red eye. Will you stop taking red eyes? That's hard, eh? When you're going from.
It was more my son. It wasn't the flight. It was because my son was up the entire, he just wants to take his seatbelts off and running around the plane.
Kids ruin everything.
It's tough. We was talking with some friends last night, the same thing, and they've just come back from a flight from New York, and they've got two girls. It's the same thing with them.
And
they
sleep.
Felt sick. They felt sick. So it's, I think as we get older, that the sleep and the importance of sleep and the repair that you get for the body, we underestimate how important that is. I mean, we can do it when we're 21 and we're in uni and we're, you know, it's different. But when you get
No,
past.
there's almost a direct correlation for me with like really poor no sleep, like on a Saturday, to feeling sick on Wednesday, like coming down with a cold or something. Like I can almost predict it exactly. So I'm maniacal about sleep. You said something just a minute ago, and I think it's such a good point about, you know, we all know that to have like the most healthy body, you exercise this much, you eat that, you don't eat these things, you whatever, right? So we both know this gentleman named Dennis. I do some work with him because he wrote a book called What a Farmer Wants You to Know About Food. And in the book is all about how our food system has never been safer. And he's got like 199 cited science, like research studies that, you know, prove that the way we're producing food on the farm is safe for people. And people are running around in the world, and there's so many books out there and so many people saying that food is killing you and don't eat this and don't eat that and stuff. And he makes the point that, you know, people are going to die sooner of the stress of worrying about what to eat than the actual food will harm them, right? And so that reminded me that there is a bit of, and I can fall to this as well. Like I can be so like, I don't know if it's myopic about the things that I think I need to do to optimize the health of my body, that where is the joy? Where is the relax and don't worry about it and eat the ice cream cone and have the glass of wine and sit around and do nothing or go all out and do whatever you like when you feel like it too. Like there's a whole group of people out there that are unencumbered by all the focus that I have. And I it's balance. And then how do you strike that balance, you know? I don't know.
If that's going to make you anxious and stressed, then
like following rules all the time and routine, like we just talked about. On one hand, you said, you know, habits and routine, like that's what leads to success. And I can be pretty rigid when I fall into something. It's like I will be uncompromising about the thing I'm doing, whether it's exercise or whatever. And then that's so rigid that where's the free flow of just be in the moment? And if you feel like eating French fries, go ahead. I mean, I do that. I do that, by the way. I do eat the French fries and I do drink the wine and whatever. But I probably simultaneously beat myself up about it, which makes it like not worth it.
I think life is tough. I mean, we've talked about it. I think the life that we're living now, even though we're very fortunate to not have the kind of physical challenges that, you know, our some parents or grandparents had, you know, I think we're in a very difficult time with mentally with ourselves, and there's a lot of issues going on in the world. And I think at the end of the day, we've all just got to do the best that we can and make small adjustments. It doesn't need to be perfect, because perfect doesn't exist. Like, okay, we might have a perfect week with all the sleep scores and no alcohol and everything, but you can't sustain that. So
No.
it's just trying to do the, you know, the best that we can, and make small adjustments to improve. And the most important thing with all of it is, you know, we are on this planet for a tiny amount of time, is just have fun and enjoy, you know.
Totally. I love it. That's a great way to end our chat, I think. We're on the planet for a tiny amount of time, so enjoy it. Thank you, friend. This was fun.
I am going to be your accountability partner, so I want to know how you're going to get on with
Yeah.
before the gym. So how many days a week are you training, just so I know, for when
So,
we.
well, every day I do something. The gym is
Okay.
6:30 in the morning, 3 days a week right now, and then I run and do other things aside from that. But
So
I
are
get
you
up
meditating
pretty.
every day?
I'm gonna meditate every morning when I get out of bed. I'm gonna get out of bed, brush my teeth,
Okay.
because that's the thing. I just can't. I have to do that first, right after brushing my teeth. And I
Okay.
will report back to you, and we'll talk about it next time. Actually,
Well,
we're recording one tomorrow, so you can catch me tomorrow.
okay, I'll do
Okay.
that.
Have a
See you
good
next
day,
week.
my friend.
Thank you. You too.
All
Thank
right.
you.
This was
Bye-bye.
fun. Thanks, everyone. And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.